Today we are continuing our study in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, and we're looking specifically at verse 17. But this, let me just read over again a little bit of what Paul has written in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 17. The Apostle Paul encourages us with these words to be prepared, standing strong in the battle that we will encounter in this life. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, and take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And today, verse 17, he says, take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. It's another one of those important pieces of protective armor that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us for our health, spiritual health, and well-being every day. You know, as I was speaking with someone this week, I was reminded that, you know, these pieces of armor that we've been studying about from Ephesians chapter 6, you know, it sounds like there's something outside of ourselves that we put on, you know, as Paul says, put them on as clothing. But in reality, what they are is they're spiritual disciplines. They are the spiritual disciplines of taking up the truth of God each day, taking up his righteousness and putting it on as clothing. It's about having our feet fitted with that gospel of peace, knowing the gospel, understanding the gospel, being ready to share the gospel. That's a discipline. All of these are spiritual disciplines that we're talking about. And so today, as we focus on the helmet of salvation, here is another discipline for us to take up or put on each day. So before we go there, what is this helmet that Paul is talking about? You know, Paul was in prison, and he was chained to a Roman guard every day. And so the Roman guard, I mean, he saw all these pieces of armor that he had on, and he immediately started to think about how the application was for us in our life. And this helmet, the helmet of salvation, was another piece of the Roman armor. It was the cassis, or the galli, which it was in the Greek and Latin for this piece of armor. It was made of iron or copper alloy, and those were the hardest metals that they had in those days, either brass or bronze, and the main features of the helmet, you can see it in the background, was that there was a bowl for the head. Right, it was, you know, you put it on, it was like a bowl. That was the basic part of the helmet. And that was meant to, you know, give the maximum protection to the brain, right? We all need our brains, in battle, right? And so then there was a neck guard that protected from any blows coming from behind that would come to try to hit the neck and knock off your head. You know, that was simple. And then there were cheek pieces, you know, those blows that would come from the side, again, would cause severe injury to the jaws. So they had those cheek pieces to protect the side of the face. And then there was a brow guard that was right across the front of the helmet. And that was to stop any blows coming from above, coming down onto your head, so that it would buffer those blows and defend against anything that was coming at you that way from the face. So, you know, when you think of the design of the Roman helmet, you know, you just You just think, well, they did everything they could to protect the head, to protect our head. And why is that? Why is that? Well, the head is the place where our brain is located, and our mind. It's our ability to think. It's our ability to hear, our ability to see. All of those senses come from our head. And that's why it's so important to protect the head. And, you know, another interesting little tidbit here about the helmet before we move on. I'm going to come back to that what I just said a moment ago. You know, the soldiers with these helmets would often take a nail, or they would take a piece of metal, and they would have their initials punched into, or their name punched onto the helmet, so they knew whose it was. It was their own, it was their property. But oftentimes they also punched the name, or they scratched onto their helmet the name of their commanding officer, their centurion, or the part of the legion that they belonged to. It was a sense of ownership, a sense of being connected with one another. And if the helmet got knocked off, they knew whose helmet it was, right? And they would be able to bring it back to the person. Or they'd be able to identify the person if they were a casualty in the battle. Now, there's all kinds of things about the Roman helmet that I'm sure we're starting to go through Paul's mind as he says, take up the helmet of salvation. And one of the most important things was that the helmet is the vital protection for our head, because the brain is the center of our reasoning and rational thoughts. In other words, our mind. And so when you're thinking about this helmet of salvation and how it protects our minds, you know, it's so important, because, you know, the enemy that we have, you know, this is our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this dark world. And you know, the enemy that we have will try everything they possibly can to mess with our minds. Do we believe that? Yeah, the enemy messes with our minds, right? It's called psychological warfare. And doesn't Satan and the demons, don't they do that kind of psychological warfare on us all the time? Try to do it. Anyway, you know, today, you know, as we are observing everything that's going on in the world, you know, the Ukraine, Middle East, all these different war zones that are, you know, going on right now. Think about all the psychological warfare that's going on. You know, as the enemies, you know, enemies both sides try to psych out the other, you know, by making all kinds of, well, if you do that, well, then we're going to unleash all of this onto you. And if you continue to do that, we're going to unleash all of this onto you. And it's fear and playing with the mind. You know, what is the attack that the evil one does, or the enemy does? The enemy tries to attack our sense of security. Yeah, those what ifs. What if you do that? Then this is you're not going to be secure anymore. The enemy also tries to attack our identity by saying all kinds of nasty things against us, or you know, raising all kinds of questions. Well, does, you know, going back to the garden, did God really say that? Are you really, you know, secure in Christ? Are you really secure in your faith? Are you really secure with God? Are you really a Christian? Our identity, the evil one will try to attack our identity. And then the evil one will also try, you know, another psychological warfare tactic is to attack our confidence and our hope for the future. See, this is why it's so important, Paul says, to take up the helmet of salvation. Because our head is vulnerable. Our thoughts are vulnerable. Our minds are vulnerable to the attack of the evil one. And, you know, when Paul talks about taking the helmet of salvation, he's saying take or receive something from God. Take up the helmet of salvation. That word take is the word receive. Receive. Receive from God what? Your salvation. Receive. You know, a soldier, when they entered, a Roman soldier, when they entered into service in the heavy infantry battalions and legions, they would receive their helmet. They would receive all of their pieces of armor. They would receive these as their battle kit, their essential protection. But they had to receive them. They had to take them, take what was given to them. And so every soldier in the infantry was given a helmet to protect their head. And so as Paul is putting all this together for us, he says the helmet of salvation reminds us, the helmet of salvation reminds us of the reality of our salvation. The helmet of salvation reminds us that Jesus Christ is our deliverer. He is the one who has delivered us from our sins by his death on the cross. We have received from God the gift of salvation in Jesus. And that was prophesied a long time ago in Isaiah chapter 59. And I'd like you to listen to this, because, you know, this, why is it so important that we receive this helmet of salvation for us? Why is it important for us to take it up and put it on each day? It's because of what Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 59. He says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. We growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice but find none, for deliverance but it is far away. For our offense, our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, fomenting oppression and revolt, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, men will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit who is on you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. You know, when we read the Old Testament and we understand what Isaiah was talking about in terms of the depravity at that time, in not just in Israel, but across the then known world, you know, is it any wonder, you know, that today as we look at the world that we're living in, that, I mean, there's so much depravity, so much evil, so much sin abounding everywhere. You know, we look at all of that and we just go, you know, what does God think? What does God think of all that? That was back in Isaiah's day, when they didn't have the internet, didn't have all of the stuff that we have today that allows us to see all the atrocities that are going on in the world today. But at that point, Isaiah said, you know, the Lord himself will raise up his right arm to bring deliverance to his people from their sin. And that was the promise that God made through Isaiah the prophet. And what about, where was that fulfilled? Well, it was confirmed in the New Testament that God himself would become our deliverer. He would become our salvation. And it's confirmed in the New Testament in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 and verses 19 and 20, where he says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of what Isaiah talked about in terms of the one who would come to bring salvation to God's people and would be the one who would rescue us from the dominion of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, Jesus, his kingdom. All this to say that we are secure in Jesus. Where do we find our security today? We find our security in the salvation that has been brought to us, given to us in Jesus Christ. And we are to receive that salvation so that we can find security in Him. The Apostle Paul concludes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. He says this, he says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Out of the darkness into the light, because of what Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross. We are secure in our salvation because of what Jesus has done for us. And so, you know, the reality of our salvation is this, that salvation is the process that secures our identity in Christ now and forever. You know, that's the second thing that, you know, an enemy tries to do, is he tries to get us worried about our identity, worried about how you know, who we are and what we're all about. And so, as Paul says, Christ offers to us His helmet of salvation. You know, this helmet of salvation that we're to put on each day, it's not our own. It's not our own salvation. It's not something that we've manufactured for ourselves. It's not a tinfoil hat. It's not a tinfoil hat. It is the helmet that has been issued to us by our commander, Jesus. You know what? If you were listening to Isaiah 59, verse 17, you would understand that Jesus wore this helmet of salvation first. You know, when God the Father said, "Who is going to redeem my people? Who is going to redeem, call out and save, deliver from this darkness into light? Who is it going to be?" His right arm, His Son, stood up, and He took the breastplate of righteousness, put it on. He put the helmet of salvation on. It's His helmet. He is the one that went through the cross on our behalf. And now He's taken this helmet off, and He's offering it to you, and He's offering it to me. He's saying, "This is your salvation." He wore it first. And His name is inscribed on it. Amen? Yeah. And why is that so important for us? Because it reminds us of our identity. Our identity comes from our relationship with the One who has redeemed us. And in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, you know, if you remember that story, I mean, I preached on it a long time ago, but the story of when Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin, and they were being questioned, they were being challenged about, you know, why they were doing what they were doing and who they were, and you know, who was this Jesus? And they made this bold, very bold and very challenging declaration to the Sanhedrin when they said, you know, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved. You know, Jesus' name is inscribed on that helmet of salvation because He is our salvation. His name is above every name. Jesus has given us the helmet of salvation to remind us that our deliverance and our security is in Him. Therefore, we must take up and receive the helmet of salvation, our salvation from Christ, daily. It's like when we put on the armor, pieces of armor, we got to put them on daily. The belt first, the shield, or the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of readiness. Take up that shield every day now. Put on the helmet every day. A reminder of our salvation. For the helmet of salvation is given to us to remind us, as a reminder to us of how and when we became a Christian. You know, ask you today, do you remember how you became a Christian? How you became a Christian? Or how one becomes a Christian? You know, we're not just born into the family of God in terms of physical birth. You know, it's not just because our parents were Christians that we are a Christian. How do we become a Christian? How do we start on this journey with Christ? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says this. He reminds his friends in Colossae how they came to an awareness of their salvation in Christ. He says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth, and you learned it from Epaphroditus, our dear fellow servant. You know, this salvation, this helmet of salvation that's being offered to us, we've got to hear about it. You know, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to understand what it means to be a Christian, you need for someone to tell you the truth. Isn't that true, Jen? Yeah, it's true. Someone had the courage to speak the gospel to you and you and you. At some point in your life, you heard the message of the truth. You began to understand what God's grace was all about for you. And you began to learn about the goodness of God, His love for you. That's where it starts. That's how we begin to receive this gospel or this helmet of salvation. Someone needs to speak it to you. And in the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul gets even clearer about this whole thing, when he says that the helmet of salvation reminds us that how accessible the helmet is, our salvation is for us, if we have ears to hear it and if we have a heart to receive it. He says this: the word is near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Amen. Now, this is how we become a Christian. We hear. Someone speaks to us. We hear it. We begin to internalize that word. And then we confess with our mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. Putting it our trust in his name. And Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can take that to the spiritual bank. You know, when I was a kid, I remember hearing the song about being saved. Maybe you heard it too. And if you did, you can sing along with me. Okay? No, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. No, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Shout it out loud and clear. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Sing it out far and near. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. No, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. As a gift of his love you receive. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Just believe, go and tell every nation. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Just believe and receive. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Okay. I goofed up the ending on that one. The second verse is a little bit harder than the first. But anyway, we got the picture, right? Without salvation, we can't get to heaven. We can't get into that place of peace with God. And this helmet of salvation is Jesus' gift of salvation to us. And we need to receive it. And when we receive the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, our whole life is changed forever. Amen? Amen. I remember when I was 9 years old, you know, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus. You know, do you remember when you first gave your life to Christ and you received that gift of salvation? Yeah, I do. It was when I was 9 years old, I called out to God and I said, God, come into my life and make my family better. Because at that time, we were going through a lot of emotional difficulties after the death of my sister 5 years earlier or 4 years earlier. You know, our family had gone through an emotional turmoil, and I just wanted God to deliver our family from all that grief and all that struggle. And that's when it started for me. But it was only when I was 16 that I really confirmed my desire to follow Jesus with all my heart, all my life, only putting him first and foremost. When I was 16, and my life has never been the same since then. His salvation has worked into my life and has provided for me a beautiful foundation for my life. And this is the kind of foundation that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. He says, and when you and you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise and the glory of God. You know, when we receive this gift of salvation, our whole life is never the same again. And the fruit of salvation, it is secured within us. It's sealed within us. It's the deposit that the Holy Spirit gives into us when we receive that salvation from Jesus. You know, the helmet of salvation provides us with confidence for living each day. Amen? You know, the confidence that you have is because of your salvation in Christ. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of our firm foundation because of our position in Christ. The Apostle Peter leaves us with three things three things to consider about our helmet of salvation that he leaves with us as a reminder of where our confidence comes from in our relationship with Jesus. The first of these is this. He says, each day as we put on the helmet of salvation, it is our preparation for the day that is ahead for us. He says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. See, the preparation there is all tied into the fact that we know that Christ has come and he has redeemed us, but we also know that he's coming again and that he will bring about the culmination of world history, that he will deliver us from this life into our eternal life one day. And so what do? We live each day in preparation for that day, and therefore we live accordingly, he says. Just as he who's called you to be holy and righteous, you know, all those other pieces of armor, so be holy in all you do, because he is holy. Preparation. Our salvation reminds us of this discipline of preparing ourselves each day with that helmet of salvation. Lord, thank you that you have redeemed me. Thank you that I, as a redeemed person, I can now live according to your purposes and according to your will. Thank you for the salvation and deliverance for this day. Preparation. The helmet of salvation provides it every day. But it also, the helmet of salvation is also our motivation. Our motivation. In 1 Peter 1:17 to 20, he says, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times. Why? For your sake and for my sake. Our salvation is our motivation every day to get up and live our life according to the purposes, according to the will of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. Remembering, this is why we've been called out of the darkness into the light. We've been called to be a light in the world, as we started with that song this morning. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Every single day. It's our motivation. Why? Because Jesus has redeemed us and set us apart for a purpose, a holy purpose. That's our motivation. Our helmet of salvation is our motivation. And finally, our helmet of salvation provides for us confidence for living because it's our inspiration. It's our inspiration. Though through him you believe in God, says Peter, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And like newborn babies, therefore, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up, where? In your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Every day we put on that helmet of salvation. What does it do? It inspires us to love and good deeds for one another. It inspires us to be the people of God who he has set us apart to be. And we love one another with a love, like he says here, love one another deeply from the heart. Why? Because God has redeemed me, he's redeemed you, and he is seeking to redeem those in the world that don't know him yet, and we need to love people into this relationship with God. Why? Because we've been born again, not of perishable, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. If that's not inspiring, I don't know what is. You know, we have received this gift of salvation. Now it's up to us to grow up in our salvation and give that to other people around us. There's a final word from the Apostle Paul on this whole thing relating to the helmet of salvation. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 to 11, where the Apostle Paul contextualizes the importance of taking the helmet of salvation and standing under it as a vital protection for our head. You know, if we don't have this helmet, you know, we can get discombobulated in the world. Just get a blow to the head, and what happens? Woo, we kind of go woozy, and we kind of get disoriented, and vertigo and headaches, and whoo, we can't see straight. No, take up the helmet of salvation. Why? Because it keeps our head in the game. It keeps our head in the game. Our ability to see straight, think straight, be the people of God. Especially when we're facing all kinds of challenges in the world today. This rapidly changing culture that we're in. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians, he says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day, daughters of the light, daughters of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, this is the helmet of salvation that we are to put on every day, and the impact, the effect that it has on our life. We're to take up the helmet of salvation, Paul says, because it's the source of our hope and our future, which is secured in Christ because of all that Christ has done for us. For Christ, in fact, is our deliverer. He is our identity is secure in him, and in him we have confidence and hope both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to just be reminded today of the importance of the helmet of salvation, the salvation that you have won for us on the cross of Calvary. You went the full distance for us. You were willing to lay down your life for us. And as a result, you have put to death sin and death, and you have given us that hope of eternal life as we put our trust in your salvation. This helmet that you've given to us for our everyday life. And so, Lord, we just pray today that you would indeed lead us and guide us along the path that we would be able to really take to heart the word that you've planted in our hearts today. And, Lord, we just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor now that we are secure in you, our living hope. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.